All right, the exciting chapter 12, Lord willing, is before us this evening. So if you'd open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Now, last week, by God's grace, we got through the 11th chapter. That was finishing up the trumpet judgments. We saw that that was the seventh trumpet that we touched on at the end of last Wednesday. And in those trumpet judgments, we saw the entire tribulation period, the entire 7 years, condensedly but unfolded before us. In that 18th verse of the 11th chapter, it culminated that the dead will be judged. The ones that have not accepted Christ as Savior over the eons, in a sense, and over the years that man has been on this this earth, those that have rejected Him will be judged. They'll be judged by their works, as we have seen. And when you are judged by your works, as they say in that proverbial, you're out of bullets. you're done. You do not want to be judged by your works. You want to be appearing with the very righteousness of the Son of God. It's the blood, and we're going to read about that this evening. We saw how wonderfully then that the servants and the prophets and the saints, great, small and great, receive the wondrous reward. And again, brothers and sisters, that is what it is about at this time for us. If you know Christ as Savior, that is wonderful. You will not be judged in a sense of the judgment time, but you will be judged at this time as the reward that you're about to receive. And I believe it's on the wing. And by the grace of God, we're going to stand before Him, and it'll be wonderful to be receiving the reward that He has built in our lives through faith and grace, and His endless love for us. But let's pick it up in this 19th verse of the 11th chapter. And the reason I left that verse for us last week is this really is the introduction into the 12th chapter. So in the 19th verse, we'll read 19, 1 and 2. And it says, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in this temple the ark of His testament, or the ark of the covenant. And there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." Now again, this is such a precious time. John is given another vision. He is given a wonder or a sign or an object that has appeared to him as he is caught up into heaven in the Spirit. And I want you to notice that in verse 19, we see that the temple of God is opened up in heaven. As we read back in the 11th chapter last week in verse 1, we saw that the temple of God were the believers. That you see that in 1 Corinthians, I believe, 3:16 again, it says that we are the temple of the Lord, that He dwells within us. Praise God, that we are, again, His workmanship. And in that temple, we see in that 19th verse that the temple, the ark of His testament or the ark of the covenant, which speaks of the very presence of God now, is there in this sight, in this vision. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. This is something to take notice of. This is something that's being announced. This is something that's coming forth. This is a vision, as we see here in the very first verse, a great wonder in heaven. And I think about heaven itself as a great wonder, but this is a great wonder in heaven. And I want you to notice first and foremost, what is the very first thing that John sees? What is the very first thing that catches his eye? What is the very first thing that he sees here is her son glory. This wondrous woman, this wondrous sign, he sees as this son glory. Now, brothers and sisters, many have a hard time struggling in a sense with this, but we're going to see that this woman is just the entire family of God. She represents all of the believers that will be gathered in heaven someday. And we will see that this woman at this time, she is seen in heaven, which is so wonderful. And then we'll see in the fifth verse that she is also seen on earth. And the reason that she's seen in these two places at this time is that there are only certain parts, or certain, I should say, companies, or certain parts of her, but certain companies of believer in heaven at this time, and there's certain companies of believers on the earth at this time. So again, let's look at this. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll read verses 35 through 42. It says, "But some men will say, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead." Now, praise his name, this is what we're being introduced in this wonderful portion of Scripture. This first company that we see is the sun-glory saints. These are the ones that we've read about, the four living ones, the ones that are found in the very midst of the throne, the ones that are emitting the wonderful glory of God himself. I'd like you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, and we'll read verses 9, I believe, through 11 here. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Now again, this holy Jerusalem, as you'll read through this, as if the Lord tarry and we get through this 21st chapter, we'll see that this holy Jerusalem is representative of all these saints. But the glory, the focal point of the city, is this wonderful bride. And there it is again. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious." Okay, she has her own light. She is a wonderful representation of the very glory of God. I appreciate, too, that we see her coming down out of heaven from God. Brothers and sisters, don't be alarmed with this. The Holy Spirit is doing a work in ones that are willing to have this work done, that the very image of Christ is being made real in that life. A lot of people are having a little hard time understanding what Christ was even saying there. I'd like you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. This is again speaking of the Philadelphia church, the ones that are kept from the tribulation. The ones that are shown here as the four living ones, the ones that we're reading tonight are the ones with the sun glory. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience." Actually, it's back up to the ninth verse. "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan." Now again, I want you to understand, these are not believers. The synagogue of Satan, these are these legalists. These are the ones that thought that their works could get them through. Let's understand. Let's search the Scriptures. Let's read it and believe it and understand again who's speaking, who's being spoken to, and what is being spoken about. "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." What about co-heir? Are we not believing? What about jointly reigning? Do we not want to accept? Christ Jesus loves you. And it's beyond what you could ever imagine. But there in 1 Corinthians, it does say, but the Spirit reveals. The Spirit will reveal it to you. I'm going to tell you something. It's been on my heart this week. Don't let, and really I believe we're at this point, brothers and sisters, I believe there's great knowledge that God has given us in these Scriptures. And we don't just grow in knowledge, we grow in grace and knowledge. Let Him work that love. The love is going to show you that knowledge. The love, the very grace of God, which you could never merit anyways, which you can never even grasp. It's going to take the eternal ages to come to show the exceeding riches of His grace to us. But I'm going to tell you something. It's been on my heart to tell you this, and I'm included. Don't let our stinking self-righteousness limit the glory of God in our life. What do you think? Don't limit it. Don't think, oh no, Lord, that's not for me. Well, you know what? I read it. That is for me. He's given this to us. By the grace of God, take your place. The enemy is out there right now to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that first one, that steal, I'm going to tell you something. That's what he wants to do to you. He wants to take from you. God says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. She's going to be his queen. She is going to be brought forth with him. And he is going to make them read who them is. Yes, grammatically that's right. Read who them is. We worship as children of the King only Jesus. We understand that, okay? Let's get beyond that. Let's get beyond trying to cause dissension. Read the Word of God for what it is and understand that Christ loves you. Something beyond you could ever imagine, but again, the Holy Spirit can reveal it to you. He's going to bring her forth, and I want to be part of her. I don't know about you. I don't think you'd be here tonight. But I know that one of the great benefits, it's not that I'm excited to be brought forth because of all the things, in a sense, that God is giving to me. I don't want to be the kind of bride that marries a husband just for the money. Huh? Follow me now. Okay? I read these things and I know that they're so. But I want to marry Jesus because I love Him. I want to be with Him because I love Him. And I read and hear how He loves me. And that His absolute desire, His soul and total affection, He's smitten when I allow the Holy Spirit to work the very glory of God in my life. And He's going to bring me forth. And when they bow down and they acknowledge and they say every tongue is going to confess and every knee is going to bow and acknowledge that He is Lord, He is God, there's going to be a place for her as well too. And He is going to make them acknowledge her in her glory. Read it. In her glory. Don't deny the glory that God wants to put in your life. And make known to them that He has loved her. Okay? It's an important point. So important. And we need to get over it. We need to get over ourselves. Okay? There's even portion of Scripture that, well, I think we'll talk about that another time. But I think you can see the Lord got me a little bit feisty. But I'm to stand in defense of the gospel by His grace. I want to. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I really do. I'm not here but for anything. I can honestly say this. I can honestly say it before the Lord. There's no agenda but the love of God. Amen. And that's it. That's it. And I pray that tomorrow it's the same way. But I can speak for today that He is my sufficiency today. Okay? So let's go on and let's be of unity in the very mind of Christ. So now we see this sun glory, and notice the next. Now there's another group of people here. We're seeing that there is a moon under her feet. Now it's wonderful to be a reflection of Christ, isn't it? And that's really what the moon is. The moon does not have its own light. It's a reflected body. And it's wonderful to have the reflected light, but then again, how much more to be the very image, to have the very own light, to have the very own glory of God within, like the bride has. See, this is the difference here. The bodies that we read about, there's one glory of the sun, there's another glory of the moon. One star differeth from another in glory. Brothers and sisters, I appreciated a brother encouraging me again, and I had read it before, some commentary on this. But you think about that moon. Well, first of all, let's talk about the sun. The sun, whenever the sun comes up, it's precious. It's up there and it's shining. You can't stop its light. And it's an amazing thing. A lot of people say, oh, well, what about the clouds? Well, if you start to learn to fly an airplane, you can see that if you've got the right equipment, you can get up above the clouds. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You start living the joy of the Lord as your strength, you'll get up above the clouds. And you'll see that that sun's always shining. Now, God can do that in your life. And He really can. By the grace of God, we're going to go through things. We understand that we're going to be challenged. We're going to have trials. We're going to have temptations. We're going to have all these different things. But God, as we studied this last week, He's prepared giants in the land just for you. He's prepared the giants in the land just for me. But I can't get focused on those by His grace. I want to see the promise. I want to go towards the promise by the grace of God and finish my course with joy. How's that? Okay, but now we have this moon. Now, when the moon comes up, and I love the moon, I think the moon's so glorious, and I love to get out there at night, and it's such a wonderful thing to even fly at night and kind of look at the big moon when it's out there in its full glory, or Lord willing, we'll have a harvest moon up here soon, and it's wonderful, and it'll be big and full and all. But you know, when the moon comes up all the time, it's not always full, is it? Sometimes it's half, sometimes it's quarter, sometimes it's not even there. Well, it's there, but you can't see it. And you know why the moon, the only reason that the moon shines is because the sun. You know why the moon doesn't shine to us? It's because the world gets in the way. Let that speak to your heart. Do you see what I'm saying here? See, the problem with that saint that doesn't want the full glory of God, it's because they're still attached to the world. And some days they'll get up and they'll be shining just full and bright. But some days they'll get up and they won't be shining at all. What has our affection tonight, brothers and sisters? I want to go fully after the Lord. This is a great time. It is. It's a great time. God is offering to us the very best. He's offering to us the very sun glory. It's so wonderful that we have been privileged to be born at this time. But I do believe that we need to start taking even more of a stand. We need to be ready. I appreciated a little email that was sent to me by one of the sisters, and it was something, and it did strike my heart. I appreciated it. There was this man, and he was in there preaching to this congregation, and he was talking about how the Lord is going to return, and He could return at any moment. At any moment. Now, when I say return, He's going to be up in the sky, in the air. A lot of people say, oh, well, He's coming down to earth, not this time, not this first time. Oh, no. The ones that are going to be meeting Him are going to meet Him in the air. That's a precious thing. But he was out there preaching to these people, and he was telling, there were some kids, you know, they were writing notes to each other, and some were kind of sleeping and nodding back. And I'm not saying if you sleep here once in a while, you're not ready for the trumpet, but you know what? Let's just be ready anyways. But they were all doing all these different things, and bam! There was a lightning strike or whatever, or a thunder, and it was something, and obviously it was that trumpet sounding, and immediately it was just amazing, you know, more than half of the congregation. I don't think it's going to be that way. Hopefully here it is, but I won't say any more. I don't want to worry anybody. But, well, maybe we should get worried. There's a lot of things to think about tonight. But see, half that group was gone, and they were sitting there, the ones, and they were horrified. The beginning of sorrows. That's the beginning of sorrows. There's going to be those that are going to be left behind. And they're going to know that they missed it. And that is a beginning of a very sorrowful time. But brothers and sisters, we need to be ready. We want to be part of this sun glory. And then again, the moon under her feet. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. Now, these 12 stars, this number 12 is the governmental number, also representative of Israel. Just men in the Old Testament. That's Hebrews 12:23. You'll also read about these ones in Matthew 24 that were resurrected on that day, that many of the graves were opened. And these are the overcomers in the Old Testament. You can see that these 24 elders, again, that we've been reading about, this is their place. They have a wonderful place. But it is not the same place as the four living ones. It's not the same place by the grace of God. as her Son Glory and praise His name, that the Son Glory is what He is preaching to us this evening. So again, we see that we have this woman that represents the whole church. We see that there's this part of her that is this Son Glory, the ones that are the full overcomers, the ones that will be the bride of Christ. We see the moon saints, which basically are the reflecting, speaking of the innumerable multitude. Then you have the crown of the 12 stars, which are the 24 elders, which are the full overcomers in the Old Testament. Now here is the next group. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. She has a child. There is another company that's ready to be born. The only company that this could be is the 144,000 that is not yet to be, in a sense, seen at this time. It's going to happen upon this earth. We've been reading about them in the last chapter, in the 11th chapter. We read about the two witnesses who will go out to them and give them the wonderful Word of God. And these 144,000, again, represent 12,000 out of each of the 12 tribes that God will encourage their hearts to come and to know His Son as their Savior. This is such a wonderful thing. When Jesus Christ, or I should say, when God set this up, with His Son, the very first that He came to Israel. That's who He set it up in. The promise was in Israel. And God came and dealt with Israel, though that was His people. But then when Jesus Christ came, He came into His own, it said, and His own received Him not. He turned to His Gentile people at that time, or to the Gentiles at that time, and we see that there in the book of Acts. And He turned to the Gentiles. This again speaks of the time of the Gentile, the age of the Gentiles at this time. Again, that He's searching for a people for His name's sake. Now God will wrap this up again and He will turn back to Israel. And this is the turning back or the completion of the circle of God and dealing back with Israel, which He had promised. Now let's go on in the third verse. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. Now we will read in the 9th verse when we get there, Lord willing, tonight, that this great red dragon is Satan. It's the devil. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now these 7 heads represent the 7 nations that will rise up. The 10 crowns, the 10 horns, are the 10 rulers that will be over these nations at this time. And the 7 crowns will be upon this head. The enemy, the devil, is the one that is giving power unto these nations that will rise up and unto this eventual Antichrist that will come upon the scene. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, this is another thing about how Satan is still not given up. He is still trying to cause as much damage as he can, even though he knew on that cross it was done, in a sense. But yet, he's so bad and he's so evil, he's still trying to destroy and to kill and to steal whatever he can. We're going to see that when he is cast out of heaven here, that he knows he's just got a short time. And God takes all the restraints off and lets him go fully forward. I want you to read something with me that I thought was precious this week. The Lord had me study on. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4. That's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4. Now, sometimes if you ever are doubting a little bit, and you think things are just too out of control. You think, how could God be in this? How could He be allowing this to happen? Let's read this together. The Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now see, if you're an unbeliever and you read that, that would probably bother you. That verse right there gives me about as great a comfort as anything I could ever read. To me, I know that there's purpose. I know that God has it exactly as He wants. I know that He's going to put up whom He will. He's going to put down whom He will. I know He's got the man for the time to do the thing that He needs to be done at that moment. Whether it's wonderful in righteousness of His Son, or whether it's going to be in something of sin and destruction, God is still in control and He set it up. Okay? So that's why don't get bent out of shape with what's going on. Sure, we're saddened by things. Sure, I think of, again, as I was thinking of Brother Gene Cook and the wonderful men and women that are still over there in Iraq at this time. And I have to tell you, I'm not going to get political. I don't want to get there. I really believe God's getting me more and more away from that. But I think it's such a sad thing in our country how divided it is. I think it's such a tragedy how we seem to destroy ourselves, how we're picking against ourselves, how the greatest enemy that the United States has truly is itself. I'm telling you, wake up. It's there. It's all about you. And yet these men and women over these years and ages have given their lives and are giving themselves for country. I read the stories about these ones that have been over here in Iraq and Afghanistan that have been wounded. The overwhelming majority, once they're wounded, they don't want to come back home. They want to get right back out there with their unit and get the job done. Isn't that an amazing thing? And see, but that's how, again, how precious a place that we've had for so long. We really have. God has blessed America. God still is blessing America because I believe it is still the most godly nation. But the problem is that there's becoming more and more a form of godliness that wants to compromise. We need to stand, brothers and sisters. We're in a great time of needing to stand, not for the United States of America, but stand in defense of the gospel. It's the only thing that's going to be. It's the only thing of value. It's the only thing that's going to receive the praise. It's the only thing, by the grace of God, that will give us reward. How could we not, as those brothers said, how could we not speak and preach the things which we have heard and been convicted of? What a precious thing. All right, so here we go on. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of the heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Because I'm going to tell you something, the devil doesn't like anything that's praising the Lord. And that's why he fights, I really believe, in this meeting so hard. And I'm telling you, flee evil, brothers and sisters, and let's live a testimony, okay? It's a wonderful thing to live the wonderful testimony of the Lord and what He's doing in our life. Don't let the devil fool you. And let's go on here to the fifth and the sixth verse. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. Let's go ahead and stop there. And she brought forth a man-child. Now, if you read about little Samuel, and this is in 1 Samuel 1:11, his mom pleads for a man-child. She wanted a son, and God gave her Samuel. But this man-child is so precious here, is that it's a very healthy child. It's a very strong child. It's a very prepared, a perfect child, but it's still a child. And it goes up into heaven as what? As a child. You can see that this is a group of saints, these 144,000, precious, and they will have a part of reigning. I want you to understand this. Even in monarchy itself, think of how the Word of God tells us, there are heirs of God and joint heirs, if so be that we suffer together with Him. Even an heir has some part of the ruling, some part. It's not jointly, don't go there, but it still is a part. It's a wonderful part. And this 144,000, even though they go to heaven not as the bride that's fully ready and is prepared to marry, no, this is just a baby child or a small boy or whatever you want to think of here. But you know what? They're also put in a place that they will rule the nations with the rod of iron with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And immediately when that red dragon or that devil went to kill or to destroy that 144,000. And remember, brothers and sisters, this group of 144,000 was being prepared from the very beginning of the tribulation. Those two witnesses that we read about last week that God had sent, whether they're two individuals, whether they're two groups of people, it really doesn't matter. What matters was the message. It was the message. And the message was, receive Him as your Savior. This is and was your Messiah. Hallelujah. And those 144,000 turned to Him and said, Christ Jesus is my Lord. And He sealed them. Hallelujah. And He protected them. And He prepared them for that almost 3.5 years, because the 144,000, this group, is taken up to heaven right before the middle of the week. Okay? All right. Now, let's read about the woman. Now, remember, the woman was the whole representation of all of the believers. And we see now that the woman, in the 6th verse, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. Now, it's not 3.5 years from the moment that the 144,000 went. This was 3.5 years of God protecting her during the beginning of the tribulation. This is the remnant, is what this is representative of. This woman represents the remnant of believers that will be upon the earth during the time and go into the great tribulation. Remember back there in Revelation 6:9, where we saw those souls that were under the altar, and they were pleading and they were saying, Lord, how long must we suffer? How long must we be in this state? And they die and they must be killed. Actually, let's go back and read that just to refresh our minds and hearts with this. Okay, that's Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. This is the fourth rank. This is the Thyatira ones in Thyatira that do accept Christ as Lord. These are the ones that are saved after, in a sense, or give their hearts to the Lord, after the innumerable multitude is taken up into heaven. These are not part of the 144,000. These are the ones that do listen to the witness or the message also of those two witnesses or those two messengers. And when He had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also and brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. See, this group is not, in a sense, raptured like the 144,000, or raptured like the four living ones, meaning the bride of Christ, or raptured like the innumerable multitude that's taken up, in a sense, as live bodies. These ones are killed. They die, and then they are taken up into heaven. And this is this last rank, this last remnant of this woman that flees for this 3.5 year period of time. All right, let's go on to verse 7. It says, And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was there found any more in place found any more in heaven. Now, we've already read about this situation when we read the let me find it here. If we go back to the 9th chapter, and we see that in actually the 8th chapter, in the 10th verse, where it says, And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. It also goes into the 9th chapter as well, too, and we read about this casting out of the devil from the presence of heaven. And so precious that this thought is that there's not found any more room for them. And why? Because the saints are moving up there. I'm telling you what, it's occupied. And Satan has to get out of there. It's his time is up. And it's just about up. I'm telling you, don't get weary with his evil doing. Remember what we just read in Proverbs 16:4. God's created that evil. He did. There was a purpose that he did. And it's all under his plan. Know that he's got a plan in it. All right. And so there was this war in heaven, and the devil prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon, let's go on to the 9th verse of the 12th chapter, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. See, the world will always be deceived of Satan. The world will always be conquered of Satan, in a sense, speaking of worldly as opposed to being spiritual. When we live spiritually, God absolutely takes control and defeats Satan in our life. When we live worldly, I'm going to tell you, Satan will get the upper hand on you. You cannot fight against him without the Lord. Don't think you can. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation." What a wondrous time. Jesus Christ is taking his throne and strength and the kingdom of our God. And I'm telling you, there is such strength in salvation. Know what he's called you to. And the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I have to say, man, this guy is persistent, because he is there right now. This is the devil, and he is trying to accuse us day and night. And it is the truth. He just doesn't get it. And I'm so thankful that we can. And we can understand again that God has him on that chain for us. God's got him under control. Okay? In a moment of faith and believing, understand that God has got him under control. And he's going to be cast out at this time. And there's going to be great wrath. There's going to be great fury. Remember how we read, when the devil is cast out, he's going to be given the key to the bottomless pit. And he's going to open up all of that fury of the wickedness that's there, all of the satanic forces. And he is going to be able to do many incredible things. He is. He's going to be empowered to give life back unto a person that's going to come back and claim to be the Christ. Okay? This is a time that's coming. But again, who allowed him to do that? Your wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Know that he's got that under control. All right. So we go back here and it says that this accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now again, this specifically though is referring to the 144,000 that were being accused, and to these ones that are the martyrs as well too. And I want to make note here that I do believe that the Word of God is telling us that again, the announcements, the trumpets, the judgment that's being professed. What group is always doing that? The four living ones. I believe this again to be the four living ones saying, isn't this a wonder that that one that was accusing our brothers day and night, now his time is about up. All right, verse 11. And they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. How do we overcome Satan? By the blood of the Lamb. The only way that we can ever overcome this sin and death is by the blood of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, we are so privileged, I do believe, to be hearing in this place, and especially in this Roman study that the brother's bringing forth to us, understanding truly what justification, and that we are justified by faith, and it's the grace of God. There is nothing of yourself that ever merited at all that you would be able to overcome the devil, that you would be able to overcome death. It was a free gift. It was freely bestowed. That's why I'm telling you, don't limit what God wants to do. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. He's going to do exceeding abundantly, even beyond what he's telling us here. Because you know what? I'm going to have to get a body like unto his own. And I'm going to tell you, that body's going to even have a mind too, if you can believe that. It's a full body. And I'm going to be brought up there. And again, it was just so precious to fellowship that, you know, when that bride is brought up, she's going to be fully ready. She's going to be understanding. Sure, it's going to take the ages to come to show forth the exceeding riches of his grace. But it's just like Adam. When God made Eve for him, do you think that she came forth as some dummy? Men, I don't want you to answer that one. But you better be quiet. I'm telling you. But she didn't. She was fully mature too, in a sense, with Adam, wasn't she now? He didn't have to teach her all the different languages and all of the different things. God made her perfect for him. Let me tell you something. God's going to make her perfect for Jesus Christ. And those that want to accept that place are going to be fully readied. Boy, let your heart wrap on that one for a while. See, that's when I start to think, oh Lord, I'm so inadequate. There's no way. Sure you are. But I'm going to prepare you. I'm going to prepare you for that time. I prepared David to fight a giant. I prepared a seat apart And I brought him across on dry ground. What can't God do? What can't God do? Oh, hallelujah. I think He's bringing us into some sweet glory, brothers and sisters. I pray we take hold of it by His grace. All right. So they overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And again, this speaking of these 144,000, so wonderful that they are starting to begin to have a testimony like in Acts 20:24 of Brother Paul, where he said, "Neither do I count my life dear." See, Paul knew it wasn't about him. Can you imagine that? Huh? When are we ever going to know and realize, you know what? It ain't about me. It's about Him. It really is. See, we get so selfish, brothers and sisters. We get so self-centered about everything. I'm right there with you. But ask the Lord to let you look up. To quit looking, in a sense, the mirror at yourself. And start looking into the very image of what He wants you to become. See, that's the beauty of transformation. It really is. Hallelujah. Realize that He's put these things specifically in your life for His glory to be bestowed in you. Oh my. Such a wonderful thought there. All right. "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." Now again, this is so wonderful. This all occurs right by the very first woe that we read about there in Revelation 9:1. So we are 250 days from all of this happening, believe it or not. We are still 250 days before the middle of the week, or before the great tribulation time starts to happen. All right, let's go on to verse 13. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth," and I think that's so funny because you can see the devil, he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't. God just tells him where he's going to be. And I just think of this verse as I read it. "And when the devil saw that he was cast on the earth," you know, here he was up in heaven and he was accusing and he was doing this and he was doing this. And I'm telling you, I think the Bible is very, I think it's very funny. I think it's funny in a wonderful way because he's for me. But know that the devil's awful powerful, but when God tells him to flee, he's gone. Know that in your life. Okay? Jesus showed us. He said, "You get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of here. Get out of my way." There's things to accomplish. Praise God. See? Know how he loves you. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." Again, the woman being the remnant of the saints that are still on the earth. I hope we're following together here. If there's a little bit of unclarity, come see me. I'm serious. I hope that we can work that out as well too. But by the grace of God, I thank the Lord and His Holy Spirit is bringing this forth this evening. And I believe there's such a simplicity in the gospel. But again, these are those the remnant saints, the ones that are seen under the altar there in Revelation 6:9. "And to the woman," or unto these saints, "were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time," that's 3.5 years, "from the face of the serpent." See, when God keeps you, He'll keep you. Again, we spoke about Job. There was Job. He was walking all around and he was just enjoying the Lord and he was having such a sweet time. And the Lord had to tap the devil on the back or whatever he had to do to him. He says, "Have you noticed my servant Job? How wonderful he is." Do you see, when God wants to hide something, He'll hide your nose from your own face. And He will. He's your protector. He's your keeper. Know how He keeps you. Don't fear. Don't fret. It's wonderful to be challenged, really, in faith. It is. That's the precious thing. It's more precious than gold tried in the fire. It's the greatest thing. It pleases God when He's trying you. Know that for yourself. Yes, it's not joyous for the moment, as we've been reading. It is not something that we all get up and say, "Man, this is just the best feeling I've ever had." But praise God, know that even for that moment, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the glory that's there. Oh, I pray that by faith we'll step into it, brothers and sisters, and keep stepping in it. Don't draw back. It's about over. Praise His name. And the 15th verse says, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." See, when that serpent gets down here, when that devil's unleashed, he's going to infiltrate these countries. And you think they're evil now. You think that we've got some evil things going on in the Middle East and all over the world or wherever it is. You haven't seen anything yet, world. You haven't. And this devil is going to have full force, and he's going to possess these people fully. He's going to have his demons out here, and they're going to be going at it full time. And he's going to use every weapon. He's going to use everything. And it's like a flood, these armies that Satan has go out after God's people. And it says there in the 16th verse, "And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood with the dragon, which the dragon cast out of his mouth." Kind of reminds me of those snakes, huh? Remember the rods when old Moses had his rod there, and there were pharaohs and all that. And Moses puts down his rod and says, "Now I want to show you how great my God is." Okay, and he puts it down there, and it becomes the serpent. Well, then old Pharaoh's magicians, they had some tricks and all that, and they threw down their rods, and there it was, and they turned into serpents as well. But you know what? Moses' rod, his serpent ate him right up. Don't mess with God. See, God allows, again, He allows the devil whatever the devil is going to be allowed to do. He's going to allow him the power that he's going to allow him to have. And he's got this power that he's going to allow the devil to have to unleash this army to go and get these folks. And God's just going to swallow it up. Isn't that precious? How many times and times and times again does God have to show this in our life? From the very beginning. From the very beginning, when he protected those children in the wilderness and all the things that he did and how he protected Joseph and how he saw favor on an Esther and a Ruth. God has his hand on you. Don't fret. Verse 17. "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed." And this remnant of her seed is especially the Jews of Palestine. I want you to note this, and any that will take heed to the ministry as well too of those two witnesses. But this is going to be a time that it's going to be awful. These people are going to be so possessed, they're going to try to wipe it out from the face of the earth. "And they went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." All right. See, I think there's wonderful keeping power in that. I pray that this has encouraged you. I pray that God is dealing with you. And again, just be thankful that you're blessed. That, as He said, blessed are they that are studying these things. The revelation of His Son. Let's stand.